But first, let's find out what's been making headlines on the rural news desk this week. Confirmation of two mill closures in the North Island has left people in nearby rural communities fearing for their future. 230 people lost their jobs with Winstone Pulp International, which has had to shut the plants due to the high cost of electricity. Here's one of the mill workers, Jet Tumataroa.
Our local towns, eh? It's probably going to wreck them, especially a lot of us young ones, eh? We're probably going to disappear off to Aussie or something if we can. So yeah, it's a big loss to the community and to the jobs. So I recently just brought my house in the beginning of June, so I haven't had it that long. So yeah, got to find a job pretty fast. Well, all my redundancy is pretty much going on my mortgage anyway. So yeah, that's going to be a bit tough.
Meanwhile, Waikato Dairy Cooperative Tatua is expanding, meaning 40 more jobs and a doubling in output of its cream-based products. It's investing $85 million in its Tatanui site in Waikato, expected to be complete within a year. Chief Executive Brendan Graney says the company can't keep up with demand domestically and offshore.
The kiwifruit marketer Zespri is looking at relying less on diesel-powered ships to get its produce to Europe and transitioning to transport run on renewable energy. Zespri spokesperson Rachel Dupree says shipping emissions make up 43% of kiwifruit's overall carbon footprint, and as it wants to be a leader in reducing emissions, it has work to do. She says transitioning to lower-emitting shipping is a huge and expensive exercise and will require collaboration between exporters, ports and the government.
Customers in Europe in particular who are starting to ask us what our climate targets are and the action that we're taking to reduce our emissions and how we can show that. And then regulations. So there are disclosure regulations also coming from the European market, which will require us to detail our action on climate.
The farming leader says more sheep farmers might look to leave the industry as the forecast for the upcoming season remains grim. Beef and Lamb's outlook shows farm profits are forecast to drop 7.4%, despite the slight improvement in demand forecast for red meat globally. Federated Farmers Meat and Wool Chair Toby Williams says lamb prices need to lift 20 to 30% for farmers to break even.
It hasn't been as hard since the 1980s in the Rogenomic areas. We've got some green shoots, interest rates are falling. You know, it looks like spring's been kind so far for most of the country. And lambing, up in the North Island, lambing looks to have been pretty good. But yeah, numbers of lambs aren't going to be able to do it for us now. We need that pricing to really increase.
Meanwhile, the Ministry for Primary Industries has been investigating a Southland farm where sheep were found knee-deep in mud, new lambs struggling to stand, as well as some dead sheep. It came after heavy rain, wind and low temperatures last weekend. Footage was posted on social media by the animal welfare group SAFE. MPI says the farmer has since moved his stock to drier paddocks, and inspectors have been back on the farm to ensure animal welfare.
Orange juice was in the spotlight this week, or rather the lack of it. There have been lower yields of oranges on the east coast due to Cyclone Gabrielle and a smaller crop out of Brazil, which is the world's largest orange grower. Have a listen to juice maker Bruce Coventry of Living Juices.
Probably once every couple of months I see a small grower give up because of the cost and stringency of certification, especially in the organic side of things. The large companies are the only ones who can really afford to make any decent money because of the compliance issues and the fact that they've got money to produce things at real scale.
Farmers on the Chatham Islands are relieved stocks being offloaded to the mainland, providing a much-needed paycheck. The transport vessel Southern Tiare is back servicing the island twice a month after 4 months out of action. Local farming leader Tony Anderson says the ship's going as fast as it can to transport the backlog.
Cash flows are just starting to kick in. You know, possibly the first animals have been sold and they sold very well, and that cash might be just starting to arrive. Unfortunately, with the long lockdown there, no one's got any cash to buy anything, so that's a dual-edged sword. The ship's coming back with not a lot of cargo in it because the economy is going to take some time to recover.
After a complete ban on white bedding last year following Cyclone Gabrielle, the new white bedding season in Hawke's Bay is off to a solid start. I had a chat to Alex Sutton, who's a regular figure on the Tukituki River with his white baiting nets.
I've been out 8 days, and day 2, 3, and 6 were very good. The other 5 were zero. So that's how white bait flow. They might be there one day and they might not be there the next. But those 3 days that I did get a reasonable haul, that added up to 3 kilograms.
And just lastly, Peter Nation is stepping down from the helm of the Southern Hemisphere's largest agricultural event, the National Field Days, held annually at Mystery Creek. He's worked with the National Field Days Society for nearly 30 years and was appointed chief executive in 2016. And that's a wrap from RNZ's Rural News team.
This is Country Life on RNZ National 101 FM.